Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store. And around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
No one can argue with the challenge of coming in and doing a show like this, a show where we like to laugh and we like to have fun, the day after a tragic situation like we all faced yesterday. Great. So what I've chosen to do is, to all my compatriots that have ties to the city of Boston, Oscar Santana and I both have family ties, yes, up in that wonderful, mm-hmm, city. I've got family that lives in that city, mm-hmm, and everybody that listens to our voice, you know, you have people that know people in Boston,
right,
you have people that have family in Boston, or you might be from Boston. And for anybody that's tied to that area, tied to New England, tied to Boston in any way, I would like to share this little bit of a clip from a documentary aired on ESPN called 4 Days in October. We're going to take you back to 2004, because with everything that's being done in media today, I thought I'd just take a little look back and a little smile for our friends that might just happen to be fans of the Boston Red Sox. Let's listen, shall we?
The Red Sox are 2 outs away from the World Series.
Lowe has become a full tilt cheerleader.
Now we're on the verge. This is gonna, like, now it's 3 outs. Now it's 2 outs.
Hi, Lenny.
That was one of the greatest feelings of my life.
Yeah.
One of the greatest feelings of my life.
Red Sox, 1 out away from the celebration at Yankee Stadium in the house that Ruth built.
Yeah, you started seeing the Yankee fans were kind of leaving and the Red Sox fans were taking over. They were louder.
Red Sox can't wait to explode out of that dugout. Start a celebration throughout New England.
Pitch. Swinging a ground ball to second base. Hokey Reese has it. He throws to first, and the Red Sox have won the American League pennant. Move over, babe. The Red Sox are American League champions.
You know what? I wasn't relieved until I saw that we beat them and we have finally made it over the evil empire, like Lucchino used to call them.
The Boston Red Sox become the first team ever to win a series, went down 3-0.
To remember most about the greatest comeback is that it was bigger than the game. For the Red Sox fans, it was 86 years of torment.
Would you compare it to like 1776 when we knocked the British out of
better. It was better. Are you better kidding me? This is the Yankees. Damn, baby, damn. Get the f***ing fight. We're gonna get.
That's David Ortiz right there. Yeah. Tough to understand.
Why?
I don't know. They're holding up the trophy right now.
Stadium in a game 7 in front of their fans to beat such a great organization and put some things behind us like 79, 78, 03. It was a year later, we're back here, we get a chance to do it, and we do it after being down 3-0. So that's incredible.
It's a shot outside the Kaskin flag.
It's outside. This is a live shot right outside of Fenway Park. That's the Kaskin flag. This is the stuff of legends. This is one of the greatest sports stories ever told.
I've never seen a team like with their back against the wall as much as we were and continue to keep fighting. And these guys are amazing.
Let's not bring this thing.
I do think it shows that although we have a lot of characters, they have a lot of character.
Hey, why not us?
in those four games, every guy had some sort of moment over the four games. Everyone had their job to do, and they did it.
They whipped the New York Yankees four straight.
Number one, baby. We took it to another level. That's it. Number one.
First series, Pete.
The most famous ballpark in the world, and against that team, what an incredible accomplishment. This will be a team, and these will be players that will never, ever, ever be forgotten by Red Sox fans.
For people in New England, they will always remember where they were when the Red Sox finished off four in a row against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium on Wednesday, October 20th, 2004.
That was our World Series. That's beating it. The Yankees was bigger than receiving the ring.
That's it, and that's terrific.
You've done out of glory.
A great job to cheer up the people of Boston, but will you do something for the rest of America?
What's that?
Will you cheer us up by telling us the story of you during game two of that series?
I think it was game two. I don't even remember the bad games, but it was I was in my underwear.
You blocked
I was in Broad Run, Virginia. Carla was in bed. I don't even think we were married at the time. Sorry, God.
You were living in sin.
We were living in sin. I said, that's it. I'm done.
You didn't mention that you were drinking Pinot Grigio.
Drinking Pinot Grigio.
In bed?
Yankees had scored like 18 runs.
In his underwear.
And I'm in my underwear going, that's it. I'm done. I'm not coming back. I'm not doing it anymore. Then I think one more glass of Pinot Grigio. Yes.
That'll do
it. You know all of my stories revolve around alcohol.
I know, but this is a particularly good one.
I went into the closet. I came out again with my Red Sox hat on, and I said, you know what? No, I'll come back next year. Just like every other year until they do it. That's it. And really, for the people of Boston, I thought a trip down memory lane would be in order. Just to some pleasant memories. On a tough day.
A moment of glory.
For the city of Boston, right. And we'll be talking all about that, and screw the Yankees. Thank you.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Look, what do I say to her once we get in the car?
No problem, Red. What you need is my special 5-point plan.
Come on, Damone, I need real help.
What do you mean? Hey, men have died trying to obtain this valuable information, you know. But I'll give it to you for free.
Okay, what's your 5-point plan?
All right. Now pay attention. First of all, Rat, you never let on how much you like a girl. Oh, Daddy.
Hi.
Two, you always call the shots. Kiss me. You won't regret it. Now, three, act like wherever you are, that's the place to be. Isn't this great? Four, when ordering food, you find out what she wants, then order for the both of you. It's a classy move. Now, the lady will have the linguine and white clam sauce and a Coke with no ice. And five, now, this is most important, Rat. When it comes down to making out, whenever possible, put on side one of Led Zeppelin 4.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Buzz Burbank, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his couch, here's Mike.
Live from Studio 1K in the Pfeifferplex Broadcast Center, this is the Mike O'Mara Show. We're downloaded worldwide 70.5 million times, powered by Encore Insurance. We're at MikeO'MaraShow.com, 102.9 FM WTNT in Washington, D.C., and the mighty 1630 KCJJ in Iowa. Today is Tuesday, April 16th. 2013, and our show is brought to you by ScoreBig.com. Taking your family to a game or event can be really expensive. We talk about ScoreBig. Oscar and I have both used ScoreBig and gotten great seats at up to 60% below box office prices. Your first stop, whatever you want to see, is ScoreBig.com.
Gotta be.
Below box office prices are guaranteed. Imagine getting $30 off your first order. Well, you do when you enter the code TMOS. Great seats, below box office prices, and an extra 30 $20 off with your first order. Oh, and no extra fees ever. It's my favorite part. Mm-hmm. There's no need to go anywhere but scorebig.com. And don't forget to enter our code TMOS. Do that, okay?
Do it. Okay. Do it now.
We'd really appreciate that. On the program today, I'm pissed, but not for the same reasons that a lot of people are pissed.
Interesting.
Halogen light bulbs, I know.
Danger lurks.
Well, there's
How do you
new,
feel?
There's a new twist to halogen light bulbs. We'll talk about the halogen light bulbs and the dog.
Right now, how do you feel?
I feel fine.
Good, okay. Good. Thank
not
God.
Woozy. Ordering pay-per-view movies, beware. I was trying to escape last night and then got... I really have been just in a controlled state of rage for the last, 16 hours.
Wow.
KFC is doing something very special that I'm going to alert you to.
Yes.
Rob Spiewak's crazy weekend.
You know, I'm still on a high from it.
We've got some stuff for you, Buzz, about men without children.
Excellent.
Drinkers consume more calories on drinking days. I love surveys that come out that tell me stuff I really need to know. Yeah. Like, I really didn't know that. Hmm. Like, I really haven't gained all of my weight over the last 10 years when I've had a hangover.
Sure.
That's the way it is. Show me that we have a sense of humor. Show them all that we have a sense of humor today with your fat baby t-shirt.
Yeah. Little
plug for that. We'll talk about that as well. I want to share the viral comments made by our good friend Patton Oswalt. Really proud to know him and proud to be a fan of his. And I hate the new layout of Facebook. So all that we will get to.
Did you get that yesterday, the new Facebook?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I know it's been around for a while.
It's still just stop
stuff.
Tweaking. Yeah. Stop it, nerd Knicks. But anyway, let's get to the the coverage of the bombing in Boston yesterday, which... I really want to apologize to my wife this morning. I have never been this angry at something I could not control. And I'm not talking about the bombing. I'm talking about the coverage this morning.
All right.
16 hours later. Now, in the case of Pony Boy, there probably are some people that don't know it happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which stunned all of us.
However, what I found interesting is when we revealed about 10 minutes ago to Matt Blum that there had been a terrorist attack in Boston yesterday. And we were amazed that he wasn't aware of it. He said he's glad he wasn't aware.
Yeah,
now, I think that's
what he was flying, and I can understand that.
But it happened, after he landed.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know. You're right.
It was.
I'm trying to give him a little.
He lives off the grid.
You do live off the grid. What is wrong with you? Do you really live like in a hole somewhere? I mean, you're kind of a quirky, odd, weird guy.
You think?
Well, that's start
true.
With.
That's true.
But you've been very good to us, and I'm quite fond of you, lad. I really am. I like you coming in here. I like you sitting in with the show.
We're just
you probably are my favorite person to have in studio as a non-show participant because you really do.
More than RJ?
stop it. Be nice.
I am. I mean, we're all.
You do dig the show.
Been a tough day.
You do dig the show, but I think really not today because this is not the day for it. But perhaps on a future episode, we explore the ABCs of you.
Oh, can we do a getting to know you segment with him?
Oh, 100%.
Awesome. I think that
after today
might even be a bonus show.
Oscar, you hadn't gotten here yet. Buzz and Rob and I, the reaction was seriously like this. We were like...
Our jaws dropped.
We were combination pissed and shocked at the same time. Just
but,
like, you know...
I've known him long enough to know that he probably wouldn't know about this. And that was shocked
by. But Mike, also a tablespoon of funny.
Yes, a table. Yeah, just a tablespoon.
Because you looked at me as like, really?
Yeah.
It was kind of, you know what? I hadn't felt that way since I found out Oscar hadn't gone to a doctor before going to China.
What you don't know can't hurt you.
Just a tablespoon of funny. Well, we'll need you to participate when we do the ABCs of Matt Blum.
Yes.
Getting to know Blum.
Just to find out about that. Okay, we all know what happened. Oscar has his brother and his sister-in-law that are physicians that are probably still working triple, quadruple shifts right now.
Tell them what you texted me yesterday, that you were on the phone.
You know, it was weird for me because I think a lot of people, when this happens, and I'm one that always comes out, and it's hard not to be associated with a tragedy.
Yeah, it's natural human. It's really that I give people a pass on that. That's human nature.
Yes.
And that's human beings that do that.
Yes.
My gripe is not with them.
No, not at all.
We commiserated on having family members up there. I give my daughter Catherine credit for calling me and saying, is Aunt Kathy all right? Mm-hmm. And I called up to my sister, who is in Back Bay, where the bombing happened. And, she was the only one of my family in town. My niece and my niece's husband are out of town. And, then my cousin Ben was in town. He was 100 feet from the blast yesterday because he works right in that area.
Wow.
And he's out with his company doing that kind of promotion stuff. And then you had your brother Jose, who's up there working.
But thank God all your family and all Oscar's family, okay.
Yeah, it's tough.
So it was a different type of dynamic. One, because both my brother and sister are anesthesiologists, and they work in that area. They live in the Back Bay area. They also work for the Mass General Hospitals.
My sister was asking me.
They work at Brigham.
My mom up in Boston.
That one? Yes.
My mom was asking. It was either my mom or my sister. No, my sister was asking last night, and I thought it was Mass General, Mass General.
They work. I guess Mass General has a bunch of different hospitals.
Sure. So
they work at the Brigham Hospital. That's where they're stationed.
Okay. Brigham Women's Hospital.
Yeah, the one where everyone was broadcasting from this morning.
Mass General is very close by. Brigham and Women's Hospital is very close by up there, near Boylston Street.
They're both there, and I was on the phone around 3 p.m. with my brother, and he's being my older brother, and we're talking about our contributions to our IRAs. And I said,
always money with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Zabaliosis.
And I think it's IRA is actually the guy that's their accountant.
Yes,
their contributions to IRA.
That's the way that works.
Nelman, isn't it?
And my brother says, he goes, did you take care of it? I said, it's before I left for Asia. I've taken care of it. Thank you for the hassle. Thank you for being a good older brother. It's done.
Right.
And we start just really talking about the trip, and he says, hold on a sec, in the middle of the conversation. Mm. And then he hangs up on me. And that's not the first time that's happened to me with my brother. Usually
he just gets busy or gets
something,
a call.
Something happens, and I know it's clearly more important.
Oscar's done it to me. I think it's a Bolivian thing.
And I didn't think anything of it until about an hour later when I saw the news and I had realized what had happened.
Right. Yeah.
And at that point, I didn't want to interrupt what my brother and sister-in-law may or may not have been doing. I didn't call them. I didn't do anything because I didn't want to be that guy.
Right.
I got a call about an hour later, and it's my brother. He said, I have 2 minutes. Call mom, dad, and Tatiana, my sister. Tell them I'm okay. We're both here. We're working on the victims.
And
then he hung up.
And so many that there were, and none of us knew how many at that particular time. And misinformation, I guess you're never going to forward another story from the New York Post, though, are you?
I put that up with a grain of salt. But
the New York Post is, it's a paper of record, I think, in New York. At least I don't think of them as purely tabloid, but I will now.
The main fact that surprised me that they were the first to cover that they had detained someone for questioning.
Right.
And that was half
suspect. They used the word suspect.
But that was half the headline. The thing about 12 dead, regret that.
Which technically they have, and they have in it. They have not named a suspect yet, but they actually brought somebody in one of the hospitals. They went in and interviewed him.
Right,
that's all we know now. But you get that, and
he's
that,
tough.
I was hopeful.
Brigham. That guy's at Brigham.
Yeah, and I was hopeful I said, maybe they've got the guy.
Right.
We don't know that yet. Right. And they're real careful.
Yeah,
I say that.
I apologize for forwarding something from a newspaper.
Here's where I've calmed down. I am so glad that I've calmed down since this morning. Carla was rightly pissed at me, just saying, "Calm down." I've never been more angry. I've never been more angry at the news media.
Well, you guys were there first person, first hand at 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that lived in that area or experienced that area, I think those emotions, and you guys could talk to it more than I can, because I was a young guy interning in D.C., and the Pentagon was right here, but I was in a building in Atlanta, Maryland.
Mm-hmm. Oscar brought up something that I had feelings yesterday that were reminiscent, especially
I just didn't get that.
One of the parallels.
The conflicting information from everywhere.
Which always happens in a situation like this. I've gotten to the point when I hear breaking news like this, I hear it, I turn it off, and I walk away, because I know it's going to be hours of speculation and false reports. And I like to wait for the dust to settle a little bit and then come back and check in and see what's real.
I think that's a great way to handle the immediate breaking news.
But we can't always get the answers right away.
But about the 9/11 parallel, there was a blast, and then a short time later, 10 seconds, there was another blast. And that is what reminded a lot of people. It was that second, the first blast many people thought was celebratory. It was that second blast that made us realize it was a terror attack, just as it was that second plane on 9/11 that made us realize it was a terror attack.
Well, I hadn't realized that either, Buzz.
Here's the wrap on the United States. That comment that's on that show Newsroom with Jeff Daniels.
Yes.
Right.
Talks about, are we the greatest nation? And he talks about we weren't as scared
mm-hmm.
back then. We're so scared.
Yeah, we got to stop that.
And we're scared not because we're scared. The people that ran towards the people that were in the middle of the explosion mm-hmm.
are not scared people.
Oscar's brother and his wife are not scared people. I will tell you this though, it's not our fault.
Right.
If you wake up and you've got a brother, a sister, a husband, a wife, a kid that's scared, it's not your fault.
Mm-hmm.
We have to fix something that is completely broken, and the spotlight has never been on it, and it's got to be on it. And it's not going to be on it because Fox News thinks it should be on it. It's got to be on it because we are broken in this country. We are broken with our coverage of events. Yep. We are completely broken. It's crap. It's absolute irresponsible crap. And I'm talking about the morning news shows yes. today. Mm-hmm. We watch the Today Show. Rob and I watch it. I'm not watching it anymore. I'm done with it. They can go to hell. I'll tell you why. Because what they do is they feed. If the desire is terrorism, mm-hmm. if the desire is to
scare
create
people.
An atmosphere of terror,
fear.
There are mm-hmm. co-conspirators on every major news network. Mm-hmm. They get so erect mm-hmm. with these stories. They get so excited. Mm-hmm. They could give a rat's ass about the people that are affected by this. But what they do is go into their regular emergency mode with their formulas and their graphics.
And their
so
songs.
I decided today, I was so pissed off that I decided I would go back and I would count. This is the first 5 minutes of the Today Show. I put two categories up there. You can see my little
yeah, I can.
Sophisticated graph here.
Hash marks, yeah.
You can see I had shots of the explosion and the injured, video shots of the explosion okay. and the injured, uh-huh. and then still pictures of the blast and the injured. Mm-hmm. This is in the first 5 minutes of the Today Show. There were 20 replays. Mm-hmm. 20 replays of
so
the
approximately
of the blast,
one every 15 seconds.
15 seconds of wow. the blast and the aftermath of the blast. The still pictures within the same 5 minutes, there were 18. 18 still pictures, a montage beautifully crafted of primarily women, uh-huh. a couple of guys, sobbing, and the aftermath of this effect. Right. If you went to Al-Qaeda,
like we didn't know,
and you said, I create a video that will demonstrate the mass hysteria that was caused by what resulted in a lot of injuries, but really two fatalities. Something that happens right. every single day three fatalities.
Right, right.
More than that, every single 33 a day, isn't it? Handgun deaths
yes,
in the United States
that, yeah,
every day.
Yeah.
So, but if you want to create mass hysteria and terrorism, you go to these asshats. I didn't even mention the fact that the massive graphics of the injured and the dead, 148 injured, mm-hmm. 3 dead, and then the montage of beautiful music. And I'm here to tell you that this, the powers that be, there has to be a reevaluation of this aspect of our society. Let me just finish this. I got a lot to say. This is something that we have done, we have created. After 9/11, we now know it's big business, and we go in and we do this. And somebody said, well, you can't change the way. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can change things. Let me give you an example. It's a simple one, but it's an example. They used to show the idiot fan that ran onto the field at every major league game.
Right.
And if it was a national TV game, he got, oh, my God, the pats on the back. He did it. They don't do it anymore. They turn the cameras away from
right.
it. Mm-hmm. They turn the cameras, and you know what? It stopped happening. Mm-hmm. One of the real reasons that I think they did this, whoever did it, at the finish line of the Boston Marathon, is because there were going to be media cameras there. There
right.
were cameras. They were going to cover this.
Right.
And it's just repetition. It is not productive. I understand you need to cover a news story. And I understand that in the first hours or so after mm-hmm. this, you want to get information. I want to know what happened.
Right.
You know what happened. I don't think I'm exaggerating here. When we know what happened pretty much within, let's be conservative, 2 hours.
You can tell it in 30 seconds.
Within 2 hours,
yep.
you can do that. After that, what you're doing is you are repeating mm-hmm. and repeating mm-hmm. and repeating mm-hmm. and repeating.
Yep.
And you may say, well, there are people that haven't seen it. No, this is
and further,
a,
you know, in
this is
age.
A hype machine creating mm-hmm. terror within our American society. And you've got to stop doing this. There has to be some way of cutting mm-hmm. back on this. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they can police themselves. I don't know whether
they won't.
You legislate.
They
away.
Won't.
You're
going to
say, well, it's freedom of the press. You know?
Well, no, they'll say that, but it's freedom of the dollar.
It's
because
ridiculous.
No one wants to be the first one to pull off of it because then you're no longer in
right.
the game. And you're right. After 2 hours, if you haven't heard of it, perhaps you were at Disney World. But if you haven't heard of it.
Hi, Pony Boy.
How you doing, Matt? In this age, there is the internet. And there are ways to. You're no longer serving the public. With all of this repetition.
And even if you're going to give the information out and you're going to say there was a, You know, what about the – there's certain times when these news organizations come out and say, we're not going to show you this because it's too graphic.
The broken leg of the player.
So there's this standard. They have a standard. There is a policy. Kind of. There is a procedure. Mm-hmm. What if there was – I don't mind the coverage. I want people up there.
Yeah.
I want reporters telling me if they're making any progress in the investigation. Mm-hmm. I want to know how many people have died. I want to know how many people have been injured. I want to know how the families are doing. But this hype machine, this frenzy of dread, this frenzy of activity surrounding this tragedy blows me out of the water.
I want to go back to one of your earlier points to help support it, and that is that if it was your goal, an individual's goal yesterday, to terrorize people, to frighten people, to scare people and make them afraid, then all you had to do was turn on the television this morning to see that you had succeeded.
Of course.
Yeah.
And that's what, and with those montages of people crying and that sort of thing. And I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Is that.
Absolutely.
Is that we're really feeding the machine when we do that. The other thing
it's why I posted on my Facebook page the very first thing that I posted yesterday after, you know, because Carla came in and said, oh, my God, can we go to Boston? No. She was completely affected by it. She's a woman that's, you know, 5 months pregnant.
Of course, right.
I give her a free pass on that. But at the same time, that magic box creates that terror more than any single thing. More, believe it or not, more than the bomb. If that bomb went off and we reported there was a bombing in Boston and say, you know, there's a bombing in Boston, two bombings, the so-and-so is hurt, we're not going to show it to you. Because that feeds into our enemies' plans. The enemies of the United States, be they domestic or international, this feeds into their war strategy by broadcasting these images. So you don't have, there's no need to. Mm-hmm. There is no need to broadcast the images. None. There's need in a free press to report the story and to report the you know what's happening with that. I don't think there's, and I've never been more, I'm so ramped up about it.
Television is never been this ramped up about it. A slave to its pictures, but about the repetition. Watching the NBC Nightly News last night, watching the Nightly News last night, there was a lot of repetition in that, a lot of repetition of information, a lot of repetition of video, and the purpose
was constant repetition.
The purpose of that half hour was to fill that half hour with that story. They covered no other stories. We got to the end of the newscast. Marcia said, "What about North Korea?"
Exactly.
Instead of reporting on some of the other things going on in the world, they spent that entire 30 minutes repeating the same information over and over again.
It sells for no other reason.
It's to get you from one commercial to the next.
And we've been told. We've been told for years that it sells, so we buy it because we're told that it sells.
Exactly.
I think that you make some great points, and you're absolutely right. There's nothing I can take away from you. I would say that we in this room live off the now and what we information we can gather because what we do for a living.
Right, exactly.
There's a lot of people that don't do that. So to say that you've seen everything within 2 hours and you've reported everything within 2 hours and everybody's downloaded that.
And I'll modify that one and say, how about we just don't need to see the repeat of the explosion?
That's
and
fair.
The repeat of the victims and the same old man collapsing in the street because of the concussion of the bomb. You know, maybe
that
we
video,
don't see that.
There was one video, the video from the Boston Globe that was cut to, and that's not the video of just the explosions, it's the close-up with the audio that you see of the Boston Globe photographer walking towards the victims and then walking around. That
the great video
that
was repeated and repeated.
With the blood and the carnage was too much for myself. That's why I had to turn it off.
Yeah. And, well, you brought up something, Mike.
And let's say it's not 2 hours. Let's go. I'm talking about this morning.
Right.
When I woke up. And I wake up in the morning and I turn on the news show because I have to prep a show and I want to know what's going on and I want to be relevant and I want to be topical. But at the same time, personally, I woke up this morning with one thing and only one thing in mind. Do we know a suspect? Have we gotten a guy? Have we gotten to the bottom? That's all I care about.
Right.
That's really, at this point in time, I want to know, you know, if there's no more loss of life, because I hope and I pray for that. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I want to see, have we gotten any leads on the bad guys? And obviously, only release that information if it's going to be productive, if you want to say you want the public's help. No, what I woke up to today was the sad montage of kaboom, kaboom, kaboom. So let's say not 2 hours. Mm-hmm. How about, you know...
I don't think you focus on the time. I think you focus on the
about 12 hours.
You focus on the tact and class of the delivery of the news.
And I think it speaks to what you said earlier. You know, we used to hear a lot, we're not going to show you this video because it's too graphic. I think what we hear more now is, We're going to show the video. You may want to avert your eyes because it is graphic. Well, that's one further step to showing it over and over and
I would
over
go
again.
One step, and they really, if they wanted to make a real statement, and you know, and who knows? This right. is never, you know, I'm not going to say this is never going to happen because no. I think it really should, and I think if you had one news organization do it and
take
they
the
got
lead.
Praise for it, right. it would be, we're not going to show you this because we feel that this contributes to the atmosphere of terror in the United States.
And it's been overexposed.
What about that? What yeah. about what if they yeah. came out and said that we're just not going to we're going to report on it. Mm-hmm. We're going to yes. tell you there was some damage and we're worried that there might be a package here and a package there. They have to do that. That's that keeps people alive.
To oversimplify, you're saying they need to use their power for good.
Absolutely.
And that and you know what? It's
Instead
not
of
asking
hype machine.
Too much. It's not asking too much.
You didn't have
it devolved to where it is now. We can evolve back to
exactly.
where we're actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And this is something yeah. that you know we are fascinated. This is the burning this is Carla looked at me and said, "This is Dirty Laundry
yep.
by Don
yeah.
Henley." And I said, you know, I said, you're absolutely right. Yeah. This is Dirty
and
Laundry.
Stop renaming your newscast.
oh, God. So Terror in Boston.
Yes, right.
Yeah, yeah. F you.
Just
so,
call it the news.
We'll come back. I'll tell you what I posted on Facebook 17 hours ago. And then I'm going to share the letter from our friend Patton, who was talking about something rightfully going viral. And I am so proud
me
of him.
Too.
He inspired
and I'm
me.
So glad that people were jumping all over this. We'll take a break. Come right back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Think of what I'm saying. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, gang. Hey, it's the Money Man.
Hey, kids.
Hey, Eddie Money.
Healthy weight loss just got more affordable. Now there is a range of Weight Not programs to fit most any budget. Ooh. Weight Not plans now start as low as $5 a day, but the cost of a gym membership, that's about the same thing
yep,
you pay for
cool.
that. And you can accelerate your weight loss based on the pace you like and your budget. With Weight Not, you'll eat the real natural foods you can find in any grocery store. No packaged meals, no meal replacements, no prescriptions, no stimulants, nothing artificial. It's the safe way to lose weight and keep it off. Weight Not has helped thousands. Read the success stories on the Weight Not Facebook page. To find out more, visit weightnot.com. Weight Not, show us what you are made of.
You know what? It's the best time of year for Weight Not. This weekend, I had a meal. You know what we did? We grilled hamburgers. We grilled asparagus. We had fresh berries for dessert. Guess what? That's a Weight Not meal.
Oh, it is a Weight Not meal.
Are you going to be ready for swimsuit season?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
I can't wait to show off. I got something in a tiger print that's going to blow your mind.
Wow.
But this is really the best time to jump on. You have plenty of time to lose a lot of weight before summer, and the foods we're eating are delicious.
Yeah. So. WeightNot.com. Show us what you are made of, and do it today, everybody. You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Delighted to have you with us. And I will say that I had a wonderful exchange with my nephew Ben up in Boston yesterday. His only comment to me, we did it by text, and he said that he was 100 feet away from the first blast on his way walking towards the second blast. I guess that happened on a patio. And his only comment, which hit home with me, was the fact that he was talking about, you know, seeing the aftermath of that was very difficult if you were right down
there.
Sure.
But at the same time, you know, a ballsy city, a resilient city.
Oh, yeah.
And I wrote on my Facebook page yesterday, right after it had happened, I said, if any a-holes, I use the whole word.
You are such a shock jock.
If any a-holes were trying to scare us, I'd like to share my plans with everybody. I'm going to Boston this weekend, which I am.
That's so important.
To celebrate my mother's 93rd birthday. Boston is a beautiful city, and this time of year is a great time to visit. God bless America. That was my way of saying F you
awesome.
And don't run away.
You know, your mom is great, doing great at 93. She does have an alibi, right?
She does. She was the
you
saddest
know,
of all.
Terrorism only
you
works.
Want to talk about it. You know, how terror works. You know, talk to old ladies.
I know.
I wish I wasn't around anymore. You know, that whole
thing.
I talked her down with that last night. You know, but that's the way old people are.
Terrorism only works if we get scared. We have to carry on. We have to be brave. We have to be strong. We have to keep moving.
It's just, you know, I also, now when it comes to the guys that do this kind of thing, I'm much more radical. I leave my, hey, all you liberals that like what I have to say occasionally, turn your radios off right now. Because let me tell you, I have thoughts of, you want to talk about really using the media for good. Once you, you know, give a fair trial and everything, you really know it's the guy that did it. Uh-huh. Then it's just this like slow thing. You watch Game of Thrones and take a few ideas out of Game of uh-huh. Thrones or that new show, The Da Vinci, whatever, and use those right. techniques, but do it
demons,
with a wood platform, maybe like a little butcher block table,
right?
And do it in the center square, and do it real slow, and
high def.
Of course, high def.
Widescreen,
and get as many camera angles as you can from, you know, like the Super Bowl coverage.
For this, you don't mind repetition,
and you can actually maybe have a little monitor up in the corner, you know, a little boop. boop, boop.
Oh, the heart monitor?
Yeah, when the terrorist
like
buys
NASCAR,
the form.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how pissed. That's the pissed at me. Sorry about
do
that.
Do you give... Look, out of all the coverage I saw, and the one thing I did... I just took pride in it. It's not just because of my brother and my sister-in-law in Boston. It's because within that video and within the coverage during the news conference this morning from the FBI and the national government and city government of Boston, you're sitting there and every one of those people that got up and spoke before they even said a single effing word, they talked about the first responders.
Yep.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
talked about people walking towards a blast zone and
that.
Not away from
Me
that.
Too.
I love that. And I love the fact that, you know, immediately our authorities, the people that we have in these positions, really, really doing an amazing job at the highest possible
yep.
levels. Even old, Tom Menino, you know, who's like, hello there, I'm in my wheelchair with my bad foot, and I'm here. You know, even he had some nice things to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Governor Deval Patrick of the state of Massachusetts was terrific. I thought the special agent in charge, you know, you just, I feel... confident. I feel like we've got a system in place.
We're so lucky.
Where they're going to really, I'm very confident
Our
they're going to get to the bottom of this. Yeah. I think when Obama comes out and says we're going to catch these guys, I believe it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I do too.
Usually does. Almost always does. You know, and
cops, firefighters and paramedics, they're our domestic army, and they're underrated. I mean, we were reminded of their importance after 9/11. We're reminded again now. We need to remember it all the time.
You know, I was talking to Carla about this morning, and when they talk about the people that...
Talking or yelling?
No, she was yelling at me. I was like, okay. Calm down.
Just making sure.
Calm down.
God.
So fussy.
And I said, my lips hurt real bad.
I said, do they have large talons?
God. Gonna have to pay you in change. It's like doing other clips from that movie. So I'm talking to her. I think it's a pure instinctual reaction. And you measure, you know, they talk about guys that go into war and you don't know how you're going to react until it happens.
Right.
That's pure instinct.
Mm-hmm.
I think where the instinct... is thrown out the window and the training comes in is with the first responders that we talked about. You have to talk about the instinctual heroes there that ran towards the people that were in distress,
ran toward the
that
trouble.
Were not necessarily firefighters or police officers. Mm-hmm. You talk about people that really did this, and those people are to be commended, and you talk about the people that Oscar, you know,
doctors,
knows his
nurses.
Family, your brother and his brother and your brother's wife up there. It's Lauren, is it?
Yes.
And Lauren and Jose that are up there. And I asked Oscar for their names because I said I'd say a prayer for him last night because they probably had a pretty rough 24 hours, you know, working hard, putting bodies back together.
And you know what? To be also equally impressive, people that were finishing the marathon and continuing to run to the hospital to donate blood.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's an amazing tour.
Yeah, I mean, really. Hey, terrorism, you know, whoever the douchebag or douchebags that did this, screw you. We know you're out there.
They
to get
only
us.
Have the power we give them.
Right.
That's
exactly.
Right.
That's
exactly.
It.
Tell me I'm an a-hole when I'm watching CNN yesterday and they interview the old man that's been captured around the world and globally. His picture of him falling down as the shockwave hits him. Right.
Right. Yes. Right.
So they put him on CNN, and I want to hear this guy. I want to hear like what he went through, how he just escaped death, and basically just. What happened after that?
Mm-hmm.
So the poor old guy, I don't know if he got a concussion or what happened.
He was okay. His name was Bill Ifrig.
Yes.
He fell. He cut himself, but he's okay.
Yeah, no, he's okay.
Right.
But is he okay in the mind?
Yeah.
Because when when Pierce talked to him, and it was an exclusive, I wanted to hear this man. I wanted him to just regale words of wisdom and how America is great.
Right.
All he said was, I felt the sound waves hit me. I fell to the ground. I cut my leg. And then one of the... volunteers helped me up. They made sure I finished the marathon. So he finished the marathon.
Good
thank
for him.
Thank God.
And then
Pierce is like pulling teeth. He's at the dentist's office basically. And he's
tough
like
interview,
yeah,
wasn't?
he's like, that's great, you finished marathon. What did you think when you realized what happened? He goes, well, I looked around and they wanted to take me to the hospital, but I said, look, my hotel's six blocks away. I'm just gonna walk there.
Right.
So he goes, okay, so you walked to your hotel and what? He goes, well, I saw my wife, and I just kind of sat down. And then Pierce is like, okay, so when did you realize that? Because clearly, he was like, hello, there was a terrorist attack. Do you know that just happened?
Oh, because he was just completely clueless.
Yes, I felt so bad for him.
They put these people on. You know, they go into this scrambling mode.
The
you guys all
guy.
Get, we all get prep services on this
yep.
show where it tells us what to talk about. You read any of the ones where they instruct you on what to do?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, make sure, find a runner. Here's a list of runners. You can call runners to get them on.
Can
it's
you
like
think
the whole
of anything more boring than talking to a guy who does marathons?
Now, now, Rob, just because they're physically fit, you should not ostracize them.
I don't know.
You really shouldn't do
that. I don't think they're good people.
You know, we have a friend of this show that wrote something yesterday that was terrific. I was going to get to it during that segment, but we do have to take a break. Patton Oswalt will read his letter to the world that went viral right after this break. You're listening to The Mike O'Mara Show. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This segment is brought to you by RC Kitchens. Your kitchen may be the most important room in your home. I want to tell you about our friend Rory Callahan and
Hi,
his
Rory.
Crew. 301-537-3515. You can get the best kitchen in the world by dealing with Rory. Call him at this number, 301-537-3515. As Buzz mentions, Mercedes quality at Prius prices.
I don't get it.
Priuses aren't that cheap anymore,
Buzz. They're not, actually. But what you're getting is you're getting the Mercedes quality at the price of a moderately priced Prius.
And it's an expensive Mercedes, Mike. It's not one of the entry-level ones.
Quality, baby.
RC Kitchens makes it a point to find out exactly what you want. I talked to this guy. He cares. That's what you want in a remodeler of any kind. You want somebody that really cares.
I'm checking the details, Mike. It's also a used Prius.
There you go. Estimates at RC Kitchens are guaranteed accurate, and the timetable is always honest and realistic, and that, as someone who has remodeled many homes in his lifetime, that's the most important thing in the world.
Not all of them are.
You want... Oh, the guy's going, yeah, we'll finish it in 2 weeks. And then, you know, the cold winds blow.
Yes.
November.
And the project is still not done.
We weren't expecting winter.
That's not going to happen with our friend Rory Callahan at RC Kitchens. Call him today, 301-537-3515. If you're outside the D.C. area, RC Kitchens might still be able to help you. 301-537-3515 or at rckitchens.com. Even if you need a couple of cabinets,
right. Talk
to Rory, see what he can do for you. Thank you in advance. All right, we're here the day after the big thing, and I just care about one thing now. Want him to get the guy. Want him to get the guy or the guys.
Right.
Of course.
Or gals.
That's the kind of speculation that I'm intrigued with the news. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to see on the news. I don't mind that speculation. I don't mind getting the terrorist experts that come in and say, "What is the? What do you think? Does this have the look of international terrorism, or does this seem like homegrown?" And they don't seem to have this one figured
out. Yet.
At least the talking heads.
Something interesting. Did you see what Mark Furman said last night? I know he's got sort of a checkered past.
Oh, you mean the guy that screwed up the O.J. Simpson trial?
Yes, but he offered something that was pretty fascinating. He said that this is a very common military tactic to have two explosions. The first explosion is meant to make people run away to corral them where the second explosion goes off.
Yeah, and I don't know whether that was, you know, that worked. And also
no, but
the type
was,
of
the intention
explosion.
Is very common of that.
Yeah, so. I mean, it was, and they talk about it being a, you know, having a level of sophistication in other attacks that people have seen
the
before.
The second explosion frequently aimed at the first responders who respond to the first explosion.
True enough.
Yeah, so we'll see. I just... I'm confident. I am confident in the guys. I will share this with Patton Oswalt. Put this up yesterday, and I shared it, and a lot of other people shared it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This is what the term viral refers to.
I think you might have been one of the. You were the first person. I stole it off your site.
It's really terrific. Patton writes, "Boston, effing horrible. I remember when 9/11 went down. My reaction was, well, I've had it with humanity, but I was wrong. I don't know what's going to be revealed to be behind all of this mayhem. One human insect or a poisonous mass of broken sociopaths. But here's what I do know. If it's one person or 100 people, that number is not even a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a percent of the population on this planet.
Ding, ding.
You want the videos of the carnage. You watch the videos of the carnage, and there are people running towards the destruction to help out. Thanks, fake gallery founder and owner Paul Kozlowski, for pointing this out to me. This is a giant planet, and we're lucky to live on it. But there are prices and penalties incurred for the daily miracle of existence. One of them is, every once in a while, the wiring of a tiny sliver of the species gets snarled, and they're pointed towards darkness. But the vast majority stands against that darkness and, like white blood cells attacking a virus, they dilute and weaken and eventually wash away the evildoers and, more importantly, the damage they wreak. This is beyond religion or creed or nation. We would not be here if humanity were inherently evil. We'd have eaten ourselves alive long ago. So when you spot violence or bigotry or intolerance or fear or just garden variety misogyny, hatred or ignorance, just look at it in the eye and think, the good outnumber you, and we always will.
Amen.
And I give him a round of applause.
Yeah, we all do.
We needed to hear that. You see so much stuff on Facebook. That piece was actually my turning point yesterday.
It was terrific.
I read that and I thought, wow.
You know, you get a lot of people that, you know, want to show solidarity with the people of Boston, and they're all, you know, they're all like-minded that they want to help and they want to show solidarity and be, you know, they don't want to attach to the tragedy as much as they really are. I think they're well-intentioned.
Yeah.
And I think they really want
to, they don't know what to
share
do.
The good word with people like that. And I really do believe, like, what people say all the time, that out of a tragedy, a lot of good comes out of that.
It can,
you know,
yeah.
I had a wonderful exchange with my nephew, Ben, who I, and he's my cousin, but I call him my nephew. He calls me Uncle Mike. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, you know, I was more open with him because he's been such a wonderful fan of this show,
right,
and a supporter of mine, and we have kind of a similar view of our dysfunctional families, and it was just great to exchange with him. And out of that, I felt so good reaching out to him.
Sure.
You know, my sister was my sister. She always will be, which is like, yeah, I was walking back. I was going to go to the finish line, but I didn't go. And I said, stay in the house.
Yeah.
I called her back and she said,
tell her not to worry. There's plenty of pictures already.
She didn't know what had gone on. She's a few blocks away.
Wow.
In Back Bay.
Really?
And she heard sirens. She did not hear the explosions. And so, you know, I wanted to. She said, well, I'm going to go see what's going on. And I got off the phone with her, and then I watched that, and they mentioned that there might be another explosion at the JFK Library, and I called her back and said, stay in the house. I know. Paul already called and told
me. Once again,
that.
You're the baby brother. You're still 10 years old wanting to get your skates off and come in the house.
But I look forward to going up there this Friday, to the Red Sox game
nice
on
when
Saturday.
She bosses you around in person.
Absolutely. It should be a lot of fun. And, you know, what's good about that is you do reach out to people that are close to you.
Yeah.
And
brings us closer.
I do believe it. As much of a prick as I can be sometimes, I do believe people are inherently good. And these little isolated people will, in some way, they will get their reward. They will get their reward. If you think that, you know, if there's some people around that are high-fiving each other over what happened yesterday, there's going to be a payback.
Yeah.
There's going to be. I believe that. I believe that with every fiber of my being.
It's the grand circle of what we do, the rich tapestry of life, Mike.
Dude, when you spoke with your mother yesterday.
Yeah.
Talked
her down a little bit.
Yeah, you have to understand that in her lifetime, she doesn't want that part of her memories. She doesn't want that part of her recent memory.
Yeah, and it was something along the lines of, I just wish I could step off. You know, she feels she's 93 now, and she says, you know, that's how she looks at the world
you
sometimes.
You should call her back and remind her of all the good that people did yesterday.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This is not the place to step off.
You know, we all have that initial reaction. I think the initial reaction for all of us, especially, as you mentioned, Oscar, Buzz and Rob and myself, all the people that were in Manhattan when the towers went down, it is kind of gut shot at first. You have that initial reaction. And then more so than before, I think what has to be remembered is that the attacks of 9/11 were the first time ever that something like this had happened. Now, it's been a long time, but we knew it was coming. We knew somebody was going to pull this crap.
Commonplace overseas.
You know, we knew it was going to come. We knew that, you know, everything that was said was imminent, that another attack was imminent. And so I think if over a decade passes and that's our imminent, and another decade might pass again, who knows?
Hopefully.
I think everybody thinks the same thing. You know, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next?
Where is it going to happen?
And they really, you know, the media once again plays into that beautifully. You know, I think that Lester Holt said today on the Today Show, we woke up this morning feeling more vulnerable. It's like, okay, I don't need to hear that. I really don't need to hear that.
And we shouldn't.
I think I feel much less vulnerable.
Yeah.
Then after 9/11.
That's right.
9/11, I was like, oh my God, they can do this here now. Okay. We know there are a-holes that are out there waiting to do this to us. I don't feel vulnerable. I feel like they're going to get to the bottom of it. And if that's what they got, okay, nice job, fellas.
This meant no way, I'm sorry, Buzz, no way to diminish what happened yesterday.
No, you don't want to do that.
This is like a booster shot to our awareness.
Yeah.
And it just reminds us
mm-hmm.
that, you know, there are...
Be vigilant.
Yes.
Right.
And I'll mention this again in the news, but this isn't even the tip of the iceberg in terms of what we have prevented. Every day, plots get thwarted by the government and by police. One got through. That's a rarity, and it's not going to happen again anytime soon.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see... We're going to see somebody arrested in this probably sooner than later, mm-hmm. and I hope so.
The last time I felt like
that. I hope he puts up a fight.
I really, really, I was in the right to feel any type of vulnerability was when I was taking off on that Air China flight. Sure. And there was an elderly woman smoking a cigarette in the bathroom and no one seemed to have a problem with it because it's Air China. And I said, well, this doesn't happen in the States. Can't wait to get back there.
You know, I was thinking of a way. Whenever there's a major tragedy in America, I think, how can I exploit this for my own financial good? No. I don't think that at all.
Well, certainly not in the front of your mind.
I was thinking how this is, this really, I said, finally, we got the fat baby t-shirts up and running. And I said, oh, perfect. Now we have this attack. And then I said to myself, no, what a beautiful way of refocusing on what Americans should be thinking of first and foremost.
Right.
Comedy. Mm-hmm. What is the best way to show the world that we are brave people?
Making fun of a real opponent.
A real, you know, evil leader.
Yes.
And so the fat baby, God, they're beautiful. They're at MikeGomeraShow.com. And see, pick yourself up one today. I like the fact that it's red.
Yes.
In the whole commie thing. Mm-hmm. And I can wear it to a hockey game.
Imagine your whole family wearing red fat baby t-shirts.
Holding hands.
Imagine going to the game and you're all wearing fat baby t-shirts.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, there's nobody. Right now, we don't have that Osama bin Laden that we can thumb our nose
right,
at.
Right.
But we can actually thumb our noses at Kim Jong-un.
Our collective noses.
Mm-hmm. I guess I am really exploiting this tragedy. I should shut up.
No.
Came out yesterday and we had this goddamn terrorist attack yesterday.
Shirts were out first.
And it... The shirts were out
first.
Right.
No,
well, technically,
no one will doubt that.
If you're doing the play-by-play at home, I mentioned Air China. You thought, oh my God, Kim Jong Un.
Yes,
I have to talk about that.
Well, it's just because when you went over there, we were all a little bit freaked out.
I was worried too.
We were a little freaked out about you brushing by that country.
I wasn't.
I was worried about the bird flu.
You were that too. Yeah, I wrote you down today.
I know you did,
Rob Spiewak. Crazy weekend.
It was wild.
I really thought about this when I saw you post that something like, "Whew, my second trip to the Home Depot."
No, you see, you read in not the tone that it was posted.
Can you?
I can tell you exactly
tell
what
me
it
exactly
was.
What you said.
It
please.
Was actually my third trip to Home Depot in 2 days.
Oh my! You're a kookula. You are a kookula.
You say it like. I like to do it.
You are such a knuckle. No, I say it for one particular reason. Do you know what that is?
What?
This falls into that category of posting on Facebook. Just crap.
I was bored because Mrs. Spiewak said we needed to go back for more paint. And what I wrote was, Rob is at Home Depot. I checked
you
in. It said
hear
at
what
Home
I
Depot.
Just said. So once again, I really, even after what you just said, you had to go back for more paint. And I wrote again. It's like, this is the type of post on Facebook. This is like, oh, scary. You know, you post on Facebook.
It was a relatable.
I'm at the top of the Matterhorn, and I'm about to zip line down into the village below.
Well, if so I did like, that, they'd know I'm lying.
It's just. Do you think, in your mind.
Yes.
Because Carla, you know, your buddy.
Yes.
Has accused you in the past.
Yes.
She reads these posts.
Of being guilty?
Of being very, very self-important.
Yeah.
That you think that people care about this.
This is a relatable for anyone who is living the suburban lifestyle.
Oh,
and when
true.
You do two trips to flippin' Home Depot because your wife tells you, believe what you want.
BS.
Believe what you want.
As a homeowner.
As much as I believe you're not going to watch the Today Show anymore.
I got a lovely little relatable for you.
It's impossible to make just one trip to Home Depot. You always have to go back.
And the tone was,
okay, dull one and dull two.
The tone was, Mike, my second time here today. Yay. Yay. Y-A-Y, period. Because I was frustrated and pissed to be there.
The new.
I like
that. Incidentally, you better keep doing this because it gives me a great deal of joy.
Yeah, you are not too complicated, by the way.
The new Five Guys has the fancy Coke dispenser.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
Cherry vanilla on tap.
Have you seen these?
Boss.
Yes. Mike, you would love this.
That's even more relatable than the trip to the Home Depot.
This video screen, it gives you like categories of soda. Like if you were to hit Coca-Cola, you're immediately allowed to choose like 15 varieties of
what
Coke.
Do you mean opening day in the Spiewak you hear? Opening day of
the
some
first
five
day,
guys,
the
some
first
chain
day,
restaurant that opened a new location?
Because the Merrill Norman, what is it? Merrill Norman, is that the cosmetic company?
Cosmetic, yes.
They closed down in Leesburg and they replaced it with a Five Guys.
Much
so this
better.
This business space went from useless to very useful.
I
in the
can't
course
go
of
on
a couple
Rob's
weeks.
Page if they don't give me the older posts thing. Where's the older posts?
I don't know.
I saw opening day, and I was like, surely that's not the Nationals. That's Pat.
Yes, it's some sort of sporting event.
It was the opening day at Five
Guys. The new Five Guys in the strip mall around the corner opening. From our suburban.
The grand opening. Yes. And we were celebrating because Julia got an award last night. And really, the person who has the most fun is me with the new video game called Coke Machine. Mike, have you ever had a lime Coke?
Was this a real Coke machine?
It's the dispenser.
They have them,
yeah, they give you the cup when you pay for the cup when you order your burger. Uh-huh. And you go, and then there is a touch screen with,
Jetson.
I would say, hundreds of varieties of soda.
I think it's called the Coca-Cola Remix Machine.
There's two of them. You know what? They have
Rob Spiewak.
Every color of Fanta.
Rob Spiewak is the boring suburban.
Suburbanite would have been better.
The boring suburbanite.
We'll go with the second take, Mike. That was good.
So what bothered you so much? I was annoyed by the opening day side. I was like, he went to a burger joint.
Yeah, but it was great. It's open. It's Five Guys. It's great.
You probably should have said grand opening instead of opening day, because opening day does imply the ballpark.
Well, that would only if you knew about sports games.
Well,
if you didn't know about sports games, you wouldn't understand that. That's how that would work.
It's the Coke Remix Machine.
That's cool.
So is this fantastic?
This is in the Five Guys?
Yes, and for no additional money for a regular soda.
That's crazy.
Let me turn off the
Oh, you know what? I apologize. The Freestyle is what they call it.
The Freestyle?
Yes. Yeah, Coca-Cola Freestyle.
So many flavors.
Yeah. Freestyle.
You ever have a raspberry Coke, Mike? You can if you ever come out to my Five
Oh,
Guys.
My God.
You won't have the excitement of opening day.
Yeah, the opening day.
Because that was yesterday.
Mike,
which is more exciting, the opening of the Five Guys or the third trip to the Home Depot?
Oh, definitely Five Guys. Yeah. You see, you don't understand the tone of the Home Depot.
Was there a visit to the Olive Garden?
I don't care for Olive Garden.
Bed Bath and Beyond factor in? Did you get by there?
Look at you!
At
you're
all?
Quoting. You're quoting Will Ferrell.
Wow, you've gotten
to that level.
It's just a great movie. Who gives a rat's ass whether you go to Home Depot? Really?
I thought you would ask me.
If you're going to go there with me and you're going to challenge me on quoting Will Ferrell, the joke in Will Ferrell that it's a pretty nice little Saturday that we're going to the Home Depot
and then we're going
to the Olive Garden, which is lovely. And the joke in the Will Ferrell movie is that he has such a mundane, absolutely non-existence
that he's happy with.
That's my point.
But
that I'm
the point to make. That you're missing is that I wasn't pleased to go to Home Depot. I was dissatisfied with it.
But I thought
if anything else, you'd ask me about me fighting with the rototiller, which, by the way, I'm still sore from.
Oh, come on, man.
What do you mean?
Here's what I challenge you.
Okay.
I would like
on a daily basis.
In the next month,
do
something just
different,
dangerous.
Different.
Out of the box, scary. Something amazing. Something amazing.
No.
But it had got to happen.
Do you have, you've been to France.
Yes.
Germany. You've been to Germany.
Yes. England?
So you have traveled.
I have.
You're a very good traveler. You go out to Iowa.
You know what about traveling, though? It's a hassle.
Right.
It is a hassle. I think I mentioned yesterday that Carrie might be going to France, and it turns out she'll be there for 26 hours. I said, why bother? Why go to France for 26 hours?
Put yourself in my position here.
Okay.
Ask yourself, now the rototiller story.
Right.
Was there anything really dangerous or life-threatening or really like crazy?
Lost a finger.
Nothing really happened, did it?
Well, I was...
Just be honest. From the bottom of your soul, be honest. Did anything really happen bad?
No, because even if it did, it wouldn't be any satisfying.
No, don't say that.
I've had a tremendous learning experience with the rototiller.
Okay, explain.
Because I did not... Well, first of all, the ground behind... Thank you. The ground behind my house is hard as rocks. And Carrie wants to garden.
As many suburban yards are this time of
year. And it's based on boredom is what makes the ground so hard.
Right.
It's mundaneness. Yeah. Mundacity.
Okay. Mundacity.
And so the...
Robbie Mundacity.
So Carrie wants to plant. And I said, you know what? This is stupid for us to fight this dirt.
Yeah.
Right. Let's rent a rototiller. She said, okay, I'll get one. I got one for Saturday when the kids are gone and she's gone. So I'm by myself. So not only does this thing weigh a ton, I go and get it. And get it out of the truck, fight it. And I'm thinking, when I said rototiller, it's going to be like pushing a mower or a vacuum.
Yeah.
You know, you just run it in rinds, and it's going to tear
Depot
up the...
Rental?
Briggs rental. Like
you are the king of mundacity, too. You're riveted by this. You're the guy that goes back and spends 3 hours mowing his lawn. So this, to me...
Well,
this
if
is,
I ever need a rototiller,
I mean,
Buzz know
would be
go.
Like, yeah, what'd you... I got a lot of stuff to do this weekend. Yeah. Well, I've got to mow the lawn, and I'm getting up on my roof and stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, we are the suburban mundane
ones. Yeah, but you know what? For the fourth consecutive week...
I'm boring going as well, you know?
Fourth consecutive week.
No, you go to China.
Two thumbs up.
Right.
He'll be riding that for weeks. Mm-hmm. For the fourth consecutive week, though, Buzz got on the roof and did not jump, and I think that's great.
Very good. So, so the ground was hard. It bounced up against the ground. You wrestled with it. It's tough to handle.
It fights you every way, and it's horrible.
Right.
And if you know what I'm going to do next time? I'm going to hire someone from another land to do it.
You know what? You know what's so funny about this is that I've seen that machine before, and then I smashed it to my mom, who's almost 67 years old, and she runs that thing like she owns it.
Good for her.
That's it. Nothing else?
No.
You're out?
No, I mean,
everybody out of gas?
Checking me.
Everybody's out. I'm out.
I just don't understand how it's so hard for him. Is it because it's physical? Like
that's what he doesn't understand. That and the English language.
Any type of labor?
It's physical. It's an engine pulling you in all directions.
Mm-hmm. You control it, though.
You control it.
Makes no sense.
Pretty good little Saturday.
Pretty great little Tuesday so far. Glad I came in.
We'll take a break, come back with more. Rob's Magic Audio Vault coming up right after this. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. You bunch of queens.
Yeah.
Anyway, this segment of the program.
You know, it's not like I've changed. You've known me for 20 years. I've always been this way.
But I occasionally, as you know, on this program, something will present itself that I'll just go, I'll shake my head ruefully.
That's right, Doug.
And and just be like, God, give me a break.
You know,
anyway,
things stay the same, man.
This segment, yeah, tell me about it. This segment is brought to you by Vistaprint.com/TMOS. We've told you before, Vistaprint can print almost everything. And now, I gave one to Carla last night, the Mike O'Mara Show wonderful little iPad case, and actually the iPhone case.
It was a gift from the one that Mark gave you?
Yeah, but you know what? It doesn't have the MikeOMaraShow.com on it.
Oh, we need to add
that. Not that I was disappointed.
We can add that.
But I was disappointed by that. What I'm talking about are iPhone cases that you would spend $40, $50 for. You can now get them completely customized on Vistaprint. An iPhone case for every part of your life, your company, your team, your family, even just a personal message like, F you terrorists.
That'd be a nice iPhone.
They start at just $9.99, a good investment for your business. Prospective clients will notice. Vistaprint is a small business's best friend, offering quality and affordability for marketing and printing. We use them. All iPhone cases are 50% off for TMOS listeners. And if you order, if it goes over $30, the shipping is free. And satisfaction is always guaranteed. Just go to Vistaprint.com/TMOS and do it today.
Let's open
up the Magic Audio Vault for today, April 16, 2013.
Just a quick callback.
Yes.
I'm on the Coca-Cola Freestyle app, and I found 5 machines in this area.
That do the mixing thing?
It's going to change your life.
Mike, it's better than a video game.
Well,
it's like a first-person shooter, but soda.
Raspberry. I don't drink, believe it or not, truly, I do not drink sugary soft drink. So is there a diet concoction?
Absolutely. Yes. There's like 70 times of the zero, right?
Do whatever you want, man.
But man.
Just do it, man.
But man, you should try the Orange Coke, man.
I love technology. I don't know why that's in my brain today.
Because you watched it this weekend, like
it's
everyone
very
did.
Good. That's
yes, I am forever. I like when he cries, always am forever.
You know, I've even come around on the wedding scene after
the wedding scene.
And I used to not like it.
Carla and her mother looked at me a couple of nights ago like I was the greatest idiot in the world as I made them sit through the credits. They both wanted to go to bed. And I said, I made them sit through the credits. I said, no, it's coming up. Yeah, he's going to marry. Kip's going to marry LaFonda. I'm an idiot.
Like they're real people.
I know. Take it away, Rob.
All right. Today's Jack Cassidy contest is another one that the rules committee is going to have to look at.
Okay.
But I have to play it for you.
How many of these do the rules committee have to look? Because people literally are not following directions.
But he's got an excuse because he's not in the video. You hear Doug Fernandez's voice.
Okay.
But the video is of his son, Sam.
How old is his son, Sam?
His son, Sam, you'll hear, is nothing but a little shaver. I would say maybe 8 months old.
Hey, Sam Fernandez.
And listen to this. He is telling Sam the catchphrase of a nation. I assume Doug is wearing a Jack Cassidy t-shirt while he does this. You'll like this one as the rules committee, and that's essentially you.
Okay.
You'll like this.
Jack Cassidy.
Oh, this is cute.
Jack. Cassidy. Who are you? No, you're not. You're Jack. Cassidy.
Like this.
Mike O'Mara.
No reaction.
Buzz Burbank.
Nothing.
Oscar Santana.
Bagel.
Rob Spiewak. Nope. Jack Cassidy.
There's the proof.
That's awesome. So I have Doug Fernandez in the running. Yeah, we will have them examine the tape for
absolutely.
That.
Creative. Keep them coming.
Now,
when are we wrapping this contest up?
By November. Labor Day.
I thought it was Labor Day.
Labor Day,
yeah.
Just in time.
Labor Day.
2013.
I am more than comfortable with making this the longest running contest in the history of radio.
I enjoy it because you know what? It allows people more time to be creative.
Get your Jack Cassidy t-shirt, go somewhere and videotape yourself saying Jack Cassidy with the t-shirt on.
I'm Jack Cassidy.
And I'm Jack Cassidy, and send it to Rob Spiewak.
And please, you know what? Impress us. Craig Ferguson, we've had a lot of talk about Boston. I just want to play this, though, because no other talk show host took this tack last night. I think Letterman might have, but Dave's on vacation this week.
Yes.
This is how Dave, Craig opened the show. You know how he always says it's a great day for America?
Mm-hmm.
This is how Craig opened his show last night.
Hey, everybody. Good evening. Tonight's show is a little bit different. Obviously, the news of today is so horrendous that it would seem insensitive at best to say it's a great day for America. So I won't be starting the show with that tonight. Is anyone else sick of the I seem to have to say that too often. I have to, not say it's a great day for America for some random act of madness or terrorism or anyway, it's the way it is. And people see me, Craig, your job is to make people laugh at the end of the day. And I think, yes, that's true. People want their mind taken off it. And I think, well, okay, if you want your mind taken off it, watch a cartoon or a video or something. I understand it. It's perfectly acceptable. It's not a... I don't think it's a terrible thing to not want to think about it, but I can't not think about it.
He goes on, and you can tell he's so genuinely upset.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been this Scottish in 10 years.
Yeah. Yes.
His accent's coming through.
That's when it gets your hair.
He goes on, and he really sounds almost like not even himself. His accent gets much thicker.
People say, you don't let the terrorists win. They're not winning. It's there. It's there. And I know when people say, we don't know if it's a terrorist. Yes, we do. Whoever did that thing wasn't doing it for any other reason. I mean, clearly they failed in achieving the number of deaths and carnage that they were trying to get. This wasn't some brave commando that snuck into a military installation and put a limpet mine on the side of a battleship and then snuck out, fearing for his own life. This was some that went into a public place and left something there that he knew was going to blow up. That's not a soldier. That's a terrorist. That's not a soldier. So if I have all this inside of me, if I have all this rage and anger and distress and upset inside of me, I'm not good enough a comedian to hide that from you. I can't hide it from you. It's there. Wow. So we'll have our guests out tonight and I'll ask them about their lives. But wait... I don't know how it's going to be.
That's so true.
I applaud him for being that real. He really, every time I spend some time with his show, I always come away with something.
I mean, I look at the three of you guys every day, and I watch you today, and the wind's been taken out of your sails, just like it has mine. And
everybody,
it's so hard. It is so hard to come in and keep it light and stuff. And I just want us all to bounce back tomorrow.
We will.
And just come in here and be lively. And just remember, you want me around for a few more years. And if it continues like this, I'm going to die. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I will tell you this, Mike. One thing that was happy that we did not talk about yesterday is the massive excitement of the Masters and Tian Langguan, who got the low score for an amateur.
14-year-old Chinese guy that came over from China, where they are trying to implement a golf program. It's very popular in other parts of Asia. And I don't know if you saw any golfdoms over there.
Oh, yeah, it was everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Golfdom?
Everywhere.
Golfdom.
Golfsmith, USA.
Let's go. This is a fascinating kid.
It's a great week for me, and I learned a lot from the top players. And it's an honor to meet, to play with top players here, and I learned a lot and having fun.
Actually, everyone's very excited, and I go now
to
this.
You know what he sounds like? He sounds a little bit like the preacher in Napoleon Dynamite that marries Kip and LaFonda.
So much golf.
You're fighting. You go out there and take a walk, get some fresh air, and just come back.
That movie's like right in my brain. I don't know what's wrong with me.
At the Hong Kong International Airport, there's a golf club. You can actually play 18 holes if you wanted to.
In Hong Kong?
Yes.
Not in Beijing?
No.
The reason I brought up Tan Lang Guan, Mike, is because that he is the fever, the Tan Lang fever, even went so far as Louisiana and KLFY-CBS have a sportscaster there, George Faust, and here he is talking about him.
And then, a little later on, 14-year-old Chinaman Tian Lang Guan penalized a stroke for slow play. He finished at
Now, as you know, Mike...
That's not nice.
You're not supposed to use the word Chinaman. No, as a matter of fact, it's discussed in the Big Lebowski.
The Chinaman is not the issue here, dude! I'm talking about drawing a line in the sand, dude! Across this line, you do not... Also, dude, Chinaman is not the preferred nomenclature. Asian American, please.
See, Mike, no one uses that word
That's
anymore.
That's true, though. That's,
it is
right.
True.
I agree with John Goodman in the Big Lebowski.
And we close. Did you know, Buzz, I'm sure you probably read about this, if you're not going to be reporting on it, about how the Canadian kids smoke the most pot?
No, I hadn't heard that.
Oh, this is true. Absolutely.
The new study just found that kids in Canada smoke marijuana more frequently than kids in any other developed country. 28% of 11, 13, and 15-year-olds in Canada admitted to smoking pot last year, or as they call it, poot.
That's what they call poot.
Which explains why Canadians put syrup on everything. The United States came in fifth in this survey, which is great. Now our kids are even too lazy to smoke pot.
That's a bad day for American kids when they're too lazy for that. That's your audio vault there, Mike.
We'll take a break, come back with Buzz and the news right after this, everybody. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Before we get to Buzz of the News, I wanted to share this letter because Buzz reminded me about this.
Okay.
And I put them all up and on the wall and the coins and the good stuff. But this comes to us. Let me share the letter with
this
you. Mike,
nice.
I am the commander of the 607th Material Maintenance Squadron in Korea. Let me pray that.
Oh.
Thank you. Thought I'd share that.
So would he be in South Korea?
He's in North Korea.
Okay, well, I'm just double checking.
He's in the North Korea with a rototiller.
I didn't want to play the wrong music for him.
He's in the 607th Material Maintenance Squadron in South Korea and a longtime listener, a VIP member. I was catching up on last week's podcast and heard your plea for military... you're playing the South Korean music.
This is South Korean music.
I heard your plea for military coins. I would be honored to send you one of my unit coins as well as a piece of the barbed wire. Do we have those? Did everybody take them home?
The barbed wire? Yeah, absolutely.
He sent it to us. And if you're interested, message me an address and I will get them in the mail. I'll be shooting a Jack Cassidy video in downtown Daegu.
Oh, cool.
Once my shirt comes in. Thanks for the years of entertainment. The podcast and the bonus shows have gotten me through some rough times. That comes from Greg Ogorek. And Greg is with the military over there in South Korea. And thank you so much.
Yes.
The barbed wire came in for all the guys.
Framed.
The coins
so cool.
came in from all the guys. It's on my wall already. The coin is in with my collection with all my other wonderful coins from wonderful people. And Greg Ogorek, thank you for your service to the country.
Thank you, Greg. I sent mine off to my dad who served in Korea.
Isn't
that
cool?
In that original battle. Yeah.
And it's
which side, Buzz?
That was a. I guess you're not going to respond.
I'm going to run over you with a rototiller.
Okay. Let's go. Let's move. Moving right along.
Jeez.
The news today is brought to you by the Mike O'Mara Show's Amazon page.
It's just Jake Hang.
Every day can be Earth Day with a whole line of eco-friendly products from Amazon's seventh generation line, from paper and cleaning products to organic foods and gardening, from solar phone chargers to solar panels. Seventh generation even makes earth-friendly products for your office. Save the planet, save money, and support this show. Click and bookmark the Amazon link at MikeOmeraShow.com. Our top story today is about the good in people. After the bombs went off in Boston yesterday, citizens who live nearby opened up their homes for people who needed a restroom, a cool beverage, or just a quiet place to sit down. Police and medical personnel who were already in the area did what we expect them to do. Pastors roamed the streets with Bibles for those who were interested. And amidst the carnage, citizens on the street helped the wounded and those shocked and deafened by the blast. These unexpected heroes called for help, slowed the bleeding, and gave comfort. We're talking, of course, about the aftermath of two explosions yesterday at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. Three people are dead, including an 8-year-old boy. 17 people are clinging to life in critical condition, including several more young children. About 150 people so far have survived with injuries. Some of them won't make it. Too many of them lost legs and eardrums. We will find the person or persons who did this. Video cameras were rolling throughout the day. That's evidence. Bomb fragments will be examined for prints, DNA, and bomb-building techniques that could help identify the perpetrator or perpetrators. The White House has labeled this an act of terror, and the FBI is now running the investigation. The president gave some wise advice yesterday. People shouldn't jump to conclusions, he said. That said, there is a person of interest, a Saudi national, who ran from the scene after the blast. Quoting one official, this could mean very little. A lot of people fled the area, and you might do the same if you appear to be from the Middle East.
I'm confident that when you see the press conferences I watched this morning, and that's the real news mm-hmm. that I actually want to pay attention to, that you know, that this is an ongoing investigation,
right.
That right now you've got the very best, the very brightest mm-hmm. in our law enforcement working their asses off, to, you know, working harder than we could
right.
possibly imagine, trying to get to the bottom of this, and say a prayer for them. Want to get this this guy or guys or gals or whoever brought to justice, really.
Swiftly.
Perhaps connected, perhaps not. Last night, authorities searched an apartment in the northern suburb of Revere, Massachusetts, and carried out three bags of possible evidence.
Named after Paul.
There is also,
also
a theory of domestic terror, since this happened on Tax Day and on a Massachusetts holiday known as Patriots Day.
I have his pots and pans.
To commemorate the first battles of the Revolutionary War.
Revereware.
Oh,
yeah.
The cookware.
Yeah, it's wonderful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Clearly, the marathon was chosen because of the 17,000 runners and 500,000 spectators it draws to line the streets at the finish line.
Copper bottoms.
I revere your work with a rototiller.
Security's been stepped up here in the U.S. and in spots around the world in case there is more to come. Patriots Day is celebrated on the third Monday of April, but it actually falls on the 19th, which is this coming Friday.
Would you have a sound effect of your rototiller by any chance? I know I don't have one in my machine. I think somewhere in your collection you
may have one. Let me see.
Just take a peek.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right.
Yeah.
I shall. Mm-hmm. There are other reports and theories that are a little murky, including a conspiracy theory that's already been disproven. One credible theory, however, is that cell phone service was cut off shortly after the blast to prevent any other bombs from being detonated by a cell phone signal. We have since learned that there were no other bombs. So there had been reports of
them. Yeah, and the JFK library was an electrical fire.
There
correct?
Was a fire, but it turned out not to be related.
And they went
in
back
any way.
And they went back and forth on that several times.
They actually came out during a press conference and said it was a third bomb. And mm-hmm. so this, you know, in the hours right after this, you never know.
You always get that. We got that on 9/11 as well. We had a lot of conflicting reports about other planes
absolutely.
And things that turned out not to be true. But you get really vigilant at that point, and you mm-hmm. check everything. In Ohio, meanwhile, a man accused of plotting to blow up a bridge has been ruled mentally ill but competent to stand trial. The 23-year-old and his cohorts from the Occupy Cleveland movement have already pleaded guilty. They're in prison. This case is an example of the many plots that authorities are able to prevent.
That's Rob's rototiller.
That damn near killed me.
You know that sound of it that goes, you know that one? Maybe tomorrow.
So this really threw you around.
It really did. Well, now it's just idling. You should see it. Turn it off.
An update on gun safety efforts. Lawmakers pushing the Better Background Checks bill say they do not have the 60 votes they need to pass it, so they've made one more change. The bill now excludes background checks by dealers in remote rural areas. The support of rural lawmakers will be needed to get the law passed. And it's worth noting that no matter how emotional we are about that issue, it's not our top priority. No one's, really. Not even second or third. The economy, jobs, and the deficit are still the top three things on our minds, according to the latest Gallup poll.
Now, the latest Gallup poll isn't all that late because there's something else that's top of mind today. I think what would be top of our minds right now is getting that son of a bitch that blew people up in Boston.
That's right.
Yeah, that's probably
right.
It.
Well, I'm talking about general issues.
In fact, nobody gives a rat's ass about anything right now other than getting those guys that did the thing in Boston.
Finally, love gone sideways. A Pennsylvania woman's been cited for misusing 911. She called the emergency operators to request that her husband be removed from their home as she had decided to divorce him.
Oh, no.
And in Albuquerque, they've arrested a 58-year-old man who was found with a woman and some fast food wrappers in a park not far from a McDonald's. The woman was pulling up her pants as police approached, and the man admitted he just traded some Mickey D's food for sex.
Oh, God.
I'm Buzz Burbank. Oh, I'm loving it on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I'm loving it. I bet he was, too. I bet she was lovely.
You know, he mentioned...
That's just a prediction.
Yeah.
He mentioned Pennsylvania. Carrie mentioned something funny to me yesterday. She works for a manager that's from Bosnia, and she says Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to Pennsylvania.
Hey, that's it. Our show is brought to you by scorebig.com. I just want to say, you know, you can give us a bloody nose, you can knock us down, but we always come back. And yep. I know Oscar knows this, and yep. I know this. With family members up in Beantown, Boston will bounce back bigger, better than ever. This doesn't work. Terrorism doesn't work.
Right.
And we are a great country when it comes to banding together and getting to the bottom of this and bringing the people to justice. We will persevere. God bless America. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Thank you.